Last week we put the kibosh, hopefully, on legalism, on mysticism, and asceticism. The motive is good. I want to get closer to God. But verse 23 of chapter 2, which things have indeed a show of wisdom, they look like they would work, they look like it's a smart thing to do, but they don't make you closer to God. It's will worship. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in all will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. It's not a benefit. So I live in like a monk, and I get rid of all my stuff, and I take a vow of poverty and a vow of chastity and a vow of silence, and it doesn't make me closer to God. It just kind of makes me weird. So people try to approach God on these different ways. So now we have two chapters of doctrine, and now the so what question. Okay, I've learned all this. So what? This what? This is what? Because of all the things we know, this is how we walk it out. This is kind of what Paul does. He starts off with doctrine, because you got to think right. You got to know what you know. You can't just jump out with good behavior. You got to know the undergirding, why. And so we're going to start out with why. Chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ. Now, I talked very often about the class condition of if. I won't lecture on that now. If here means since. There is an if-ness to it if you're a Christian. Because if you're not a Christian, I'm sorry, I got nothing for you this morning. This isn't a TED talk. This is to the family. This is what family does. If somebody's outside looking in, well, you're welcome to come in and join the family. Come on in, the water's fine. But you can't just adopt these things, act like a certain way, and then become family. It doesn't work that way, all right? So since you Christians, he's writing to the Christians in Colossae, since you guys are Christians, then this is true of you. You're risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. So we want to focus on the heavenly. We don't want to focus on the earthly. Now that, right there, is worth the price of admission. That is a tremendous benefit, and it really, really is. Where's your focus? Well, I'm worried about, you know, how to pay the bills, and I'm worried about the garden. It hasn't rained, and oh, my tomatoes are withering, and, you know, the bills are piling up over my head. Oh, you know, my cat's sick, and I don't know if I have enough money to take her to the vet. And so all these things. Now, these are things that we concern ourselves with. They're not bad things. But if that's all our focus and all our focus consumes us, we're not. Most of us think about the here and now like it's all that there is. When you're dead, you're going to be dead for a long time. Or, let's put it this way, the next life, the next iteration, the resurrection, you're going to be resurrected for a long time. You're not going to be dead, okay? You're living in Christ. You're resurrected, if you're risen with Christ. So you're never going to die in a sense of cease to be. The only question is, where's your address? Well, mine's in heaven. Yours, I trust, is in heaven if you're born again. So we're focusing on those heavenly things. That's where I'm going to be, and I'm going to be there with Christ for eternity. Here, 65 years gone by in just it's a mist. It's a vapor that appears for a while and then goes away, James says. It is. When I'm 65, looking back, I'm thinking, where did the time go? We had our Father's Day festivities yesterday. The boys were over. It's never just the boys. Felicia and Noah had some other things. My granddaughter was working. So it was just the original family, me, Susan, the boys. That never happens, does it? And it was kind of like, it took me back to, you know, and I was thinking, I was all nostalgic, back to thinking when they were just, you know, little snot-nosed kids and stuff like that. And it was like, man, where'd the time go? You know, when I was their dad, and they were little, and now they're dads, and I got grandkids. My grandkids are 18. It's ridiculous. Where does it go? It's a mist. Now, this section here is make the most of your mist, okay? Don't focus on this like this is forever. I say this a lot of times. 100 years from today, nobody cares what car you drove. Nobody cares what you did for a living. Nobody cares how fashion conscious you were or you weren't. Nobody cared who your favorite teams were or your favorite color. None of that stuff matters. Your relationship to Jesus Christ eternally is front and center, and that's the only... Now, I won't say that's all, but that's the main thing. And so here he's saying, okay, focus, fix your gaze on the eternal, because everything else is temporary and it's passing. Set your affection, your heart, on things above, not on things on the earth. Boy, that right there, if we just applied that, that would be so, so helpful. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You say it, Adam, you just said we were risen in Christ. Now you're saying we're dead. Oh, it gets worse than that. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, are we dead? Are we alive? Christ is our life? Help me out. Yes. Yes. Dead in Christ, dead to the things of the world, alive in Christ. It's called resurrection. Now, I'm just to say this quickly. I publicly showed the world that I had died in Christ, that I had died to the death. Now that I was in Christ, that I had died to the world, and I was buried and resurrected with Christ. It's called baptism. I think I was baptized. I think we were baptized together. I'm sure of that. I think it was 1982. I got saved in 1980. We're in the Marine Corps. I get out at the end of September of 1981. We hadn't been baptized. So it just wasn't on the radar. I wasn't well instructed in a lot of things. You know, you have to grow, and we give you a benefit of the doubt, and we let people grow. I'm not, you know, hurry up yesterday. I want you to be a mature, perfect. I'm not like that. So we bounced around trying to find a church. We went to a little Baptist church. There was no Calvary Chapel in Maine at the time. And I was just new in the faith. And so, you know, and I didn't really think Baptist, much of Baptist, but went to a Baptist church. And the guy there was a real gospel preacher. He's a friend to this day. Reverend Roger Tracy baptized us. And I knew at the time that I was making a profession of faith. I was showing the world, okay, that old guy, gone. New Adam, resurrection of life. This, the new Adam, belongs to Jesus Christ. And that's, so are you dead? Yeah. Are you alive? Yeah. And if you figure those two things out, what you're dead to and who you're alive to, that's going to be very, very instructive. You're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, what's that? That's the glorious appearing. That is the blessed hope. You would call it the rapture, and you would be right. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's just reiteration of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Dead in Christ rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And by the way, comfort one another with these words. So Christ is going to appear, and we're going to appear with him in glory. Now, if I'm going to appear in glory, that tells me a lot about my behavior right here, right now. Verse 5, in Paul beats us to the punch. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Put to death your fleshly, your flesh. Romans chapter 6, very instructive, very helpful. I love teaching it, especially to like new believers. You know, in Seven Oaks or something when I was there, and I said, this is how it works, guys. And I was very upfront, very kind of in your face, because you want to be. You know, those guys are blunt, and they need to, you got to spell it out. You got to use crayons. You got to write big. You got to make sure they understand, they get it. Hey, you ain't that person anymore. Put that old fool to death. Well, this is what it's saying. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. What are you talking about? Mortify what? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Those are all sex sins, by the way, except for covetousness, which might be, because if you're talking about coveting, like the idea of coveting your neighbor's wife or someone who doesn't belong to you, it's all sex sin. Well, for the most part, sex sin. Well, yeah, but I'm not that guy. Well, I hope you're not. Or that lady. Well, I hope you're not. But I just heard a statistic this week. 80-something percent of all men in America admit to using pornography. And I always think, like, if you admit, there's always a number higher of those who are doing said sin but just aren't admitting it. No, I'm not. I don't want to cast a dispersion on you saintly guys, or women for that matter. But that's the stark reality. People I know, people I love, who are the problem with sin. Satan will tempt us and say, "Yeah, no big deal. One more time, it's nothing. It's nothing. God will forgive you." He will. He will. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. He's forgiving God. He's the one who told Peter 70 times 7, which doesn't mean 490. It means stop counting, just keep forgiving. And by the way, it better not be 490. I've used up that with Sue's probably in the first year of marriage, 40 whatever years ago. I'd used that up, so I'm hoping we're not counting, right? And you've offended God more than 490 times. The idea is that, yeah, he will forgive. But then the guilt, and you know, Satan's right there again. Oh, you think God's going to forgive you? You just keep doing this and doing it. You think God's going to forgive you? And we're victimized by sin. It has a death principle built in. Now, drugs and alcohol, that's easy. That's an easy picture. You see people die. Talking about bad habits and addictions, cigarettes, that'll kill you. The food that we eat, we overeat or eat really bad stuff, a lot of it, all the time. That'll kill you. And it's not like Bible saying sin is a food, but I mean food is a sin. Sin is a food. It's not saying that, but gluttony is certainly mentioned in Scripture as being sinful. So these sins, like pornography, that it's hard for me to speak in this climate, in this political climate, about sex sins in the sense that I listen to myself and I think, like, Gramps, you got to get with it. You're ridiculous. You still think homosexuality is a sin? And by the way, yes. But it even sounds weird to me. We can ordain homosexuals. We can marry homosexuals. Nobody thinks that's wrong anymore. I do. The Bible says this is wrong. This is sin. You know what the problem with God is? He's got to change with the times. He's got to grow. He's got to learn. This used to be sin, but now it's, people are born that way. Ease up. God, just chill. Listen, God doesn't change. Why? Because he can't, he wouldn't get worse and he can't get better. God doesn't change. He's immutable. The things that were wrong yesterday are things that were wrong today. Now, think about this. God knows, it's a simple biological function, Adam. It's no big deal. It's not. It is with dogs, right? You get a dog and he's a champion, whatever, and some ones bring their female version of the same brand and they want him to sire puppies. He will do that, and we don't call that sin. A dog doesn't have a soul, right? He can do that, but he's not a hands-on dad. He doesn't love that dog, and then when you take her away, he's not, like, saddened. You bring a fresh dog in, and he's a dog, and dogs do that. People aren't dogs, but they act like dogs, just, sniffing around and just whatever moves and just, and then there's no emotional, they can't emotionally attach and they can't emotionally bond after that. When you have a certain amount of partners, you're stuck in that and you can never quite shift in. Well, I think you can in Christ, but it's a very, very hard thing to do. Did God know that? Yes. Did God know about sexually transmitted diseases? Yes. Is sex bad? No, God invented it. We're not anti-sex. We're just anti-sex outside of the covenant relationship inside of marriage that God designed it for. And anything outside of that, you're going to mortify. You got a spouse? Yay! God said, have at it, celebrate, just rejoice with the wife of your youth. I ain't going to say the rest of that verse, but think about it. God invented that. He thinks it's a wonderful thing. He says, now don't misuse this. He gives us this big backyard. Go and play. Bounce on the trampoline. Swim in the stream. Just have at it. Have a great time. Oh, here? No, don't go outside here. That's where you're going to get hurt there, sweetheart. That's what he's saying to us. And that's all he's saying to us. And Paul's saying the same thing. So we don't look at our culture and say, God, you got to change. We look at, the laws come from, kingdom down, not culture up. We don't say, okay, God, this is the way it's got to be. God says, no, this is the way it is. And God can judge a culture. A culture judges God, and they got that exactly backwards. And they'll stand before him, and he'll explain things a little bit clearer to those who are like telling him this is the way it's got to be. And don't you be ashamed of saying things that God says. I know we want to be loving, we want people to love us and think that we're not. And that, they start with the name calling, the phobes and this and that. Don't buy it. Mortify. Don't be caught in that web. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Oh my goodness. God clouds up and rains on people who practice this stuff. Do you remember? We were studying this in Jeremiah. We looked at it in Isaiah. Jeremiah specifically. When you guys came into the land, we pushed everyone else aside because I didn't like their worship. They were sacrificing their children to Molech. They were doing some unspeakably evil things. They were prostituting their children. The things that they did were unholy. They were just altogether bad things. And now the children of Israel start doing them. He says, you think you're an exception? I cleaned house when the other group was doing that. And then he takes them off into, you want to be an idol worshiper? I'm going to take you to Idol Central. I'm going to take you to Babylon, show you a few things. It worked. When they came back from Babylon, it was a different Israel. They had some problems in Jesus' day, but by and large, idolatry was not one of them. God says, listen, I punish people who do this. Oh, you want to do this? And you're saying I get involved in this, I'm going to hell? No, I'm saying you're involved in this, you're living like hell. And it carries in with it a death principle. Can Christians come up with AIDS or some other sexually transmitted disease? Yeah, of course. Can Christians get themselves into bondage? Yeah, of course. And again, it's for freedom that Christ set us free. I don't want to see you involved in bondage. And I don't care if the bondage is... You say, Adam, this. I hear what you're saying, but this doesn't really pertain to me. I've kind of had victory over sex sin. Good. It's all right to be all right with God. But if you're still struggling with these things, I'm going to give you a very practical remedy at the end of that. You also, for these things... The wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, and the which he also walked sometime when you lived in them. It used to be you, and if it ain't you now, praise God, but it used to be, and that's what he's saying here. But now, ye also put off all these. Now, group two, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Don't do these either. We all seem to track to one of these groups, all of us. I'm going to put myself in the second one. Anger, I can get really... I worked on that for a long time. Malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another. So you're saying I'm not sex guy. I'm just lie guy. I don't know if that's... You don't get sexually transmitted disease, but there's other things. You're not trustworthy, and people always, doubt you, and don't be this person. We gotta really think some things through. Are you people exasperated by illegal immigration? I am. I hate our dollars going towards illegals. Don't hate illegal. I don't want to say this right. I want to thread this needle. We always talk about hating the sin, not the sinner. Well, put that on anything. Well, they shouldn't be here. Yeah, but they are here. Share the gospel with them. You can't pick them up over your shoulder and carry them to the nearest border. And don't hate. It doesn't give us, because people are doing illegal activity, doesn't give us the authority or the right to be racist, xenophobic, and it's so hypocritical. It really is. Hey, listen, it's a couple, just two generations ago on my grandfather, my mother's dad, and three generations ago, my father's father, they came into this country. I'm not Native American in the sense of like, I'm not First Nations person. So I got mine, so the rest of you stay where you are. Oh, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, come on in, the water's fine. This is a wonderful place to live. You should want to be here. I think the whole world should want to live here. And just bother to do it legally. I'm not a hater. I'm not a racist. Certainly not. And then there's people who have different views and we get really upset with them. They're us. They're our fellow Americans. They're just people who have let's talk. Let's get a communication. Go, you don't see it my way? Okay, well, pray. You know, this old Indian proverb, don't give somebody a rose after you've cut off their nose. When you alienate somebody and war against them and fight against them, then I'm going to turn around and invite them to church. They think you're an idiot. We don't argue people in church. So we have these debates, and they're close in the narrow heart. So when they get very heated and they get very loud sometimes, scale it back. Just remember, that person is just like me. They need the love of Jesus Christ. They have to understand who Jesus is and be born again. I don't know how I get there. Put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. There's a certain way. We ain't supposed to talk that way. Lie not to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. So I put off the old man and put on the new man. Yeah, it's like a change of clothes. That's what he's talking about. Look. You sleep, you're wearing your pajamas, okay? Ostensibly. And if you're wearing something else, your tidy whities or less than that. I don't want to know. I don't care. If there's a fire at night and you have to run out, grab something. That's all I'm saying, all right? That's other than that. But let's just say you wear your pajamas to bed, right? And that's wonderful bed attire. That's what they're invented for. So here you are in your PJs, and you get up in the morning. The alarm goes off. What do? You take your PJs off, and then you put on your work clothes. You don't want to show up at a construction site in your PJs. And by the way, it's totally not allowed. They would not allow that, okay? And it used to be that people only wore pajamas to bed. Now that's the standard Walmart attire since COVID. And I'm thinking, like, maybe let's take up a collection and buy this girl a pair of Levi's or something. I don't know. Or there's other things they wear, and I don't even want to go there. I'm longing for the old, good old days when they just wore pajamas. So we take off our pajamas, we put on our work clothes, we wear our work clothes to work, which is very normal behavior, by the way, and we come home, and we wear our work clothes for the rest of the day sometimes, but we're going out for dinner, and I am covered head to toe in grease, and she would say to me, "You're not going out with me looking like that," and I say, "Very well, because I don't want to, look like a total slob, usually. Her idea of clean and my idea of clean ain't exactly level, but that's a story for another time. And so I will wear evening attire. I will change into something appropriate, and we will go out to dinner. And then when I come home, it's bedtime again, and now the pajamas come out again, and away we go. That's how it's supposed to be, right? You're in Christ. You put on Christ. You put off the old attire, the stuff that, especially, look, Lazarus was resurrected. Like you. Not quite like you. He's more resuscitated. He was going to die again. But you're resurrected in Christ, never to die again, right? Don't you think you ought to dress like that appropriately? Well, how do I dress like that? Well, certainly not with fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness. Certainly not as an idolater. You don't want to dress with anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, or lying. Right? We don't want, hey, get those grave clothes off him, Jesus said. There was a reason for that. He couldn't be Lazarus. He couldn't act all Lazarus-y, whatever that looked like. He couldn't do his daily stuff with his grave clothes on. Listen, Jesus resurrected from the dead, and he left his grave clothes right in the grave where they belong. It's just that easy. There's a certain way that we're called to behave. Now, you're saying, it sounds like you're talking about like this, all this white knuckling. Oh, no. Understanding, and then there's some doing, the followers are understanding. We got to reckon ourselves. I'm even going to do this. We got time. Just remain calm. Romans chapter 6. That's 5. Which, by the way, 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're justified, just as if you'd never sinned, right? Well, chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? It will. I'm telling you, it will. You could sin up a storm. You will have so much grace. That's who he is. So I'm just going to keep sinning. We'll have grace all over the place. Well, there's a problem with that. And the problem is, I'm free, and I don't have to live like that anymore. Yes, God is gracious. Aren't you happy for that? Because let's be honest, you did the 70 times 7. You're way past that, okay? Aren't you happy that God is gracious? So we're just going to keep sinning up a storm. Grace would be all over the place. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? This is Paul's question, and he answers it. God forbid. In other words, may it never be. How shall we then that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Oh, that's so brilliant. I'm dead to that stuff. Why am I living like it's still a thing? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? What are you saying? Well, the same thing he said all along. If any man be in Christ, is new creation. What happened to the old one? Dead. Resurrected in newness of life. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, resulting in death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We're putting on some new fancy threads, and we're going to walk them, show everybody. And it's the resurrected life. It's what Christ has provided for us. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Again, his resurrection. He left the grave clothes right in the grave. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Right? Picking up your cross daily and follow him. How many verses can we fold into this? It's the same over and over and over. Slight change, slight variation, so you'll get it. Knowing this, our old man, that person you were, is crucified with Christ. Now, this is very, 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 very helpful. It's very helpful. I'm tempted. And I am. This doesn't make me a bad guy. Jesus was tempted. I'm tempted. I don't know about you. I get bold with Satan. I get all nerved up, and I don't know what scripture tells us to fear Satan. I fear God. And I would say, you're tempting somebody who doesn't exist, and I'm focusing on the Lord. Lord, I want to please you. I want to serve you. I want to be more like you. Is that helpful? It's not just my white knuckles. I told you before, Satan laughs at our white knuckles. You're not going to be beat the flesh by the power of the flesh. But you understand who you are. Look. I'm a pastor, a Calvary Chapel pastor. I'm your pastor. Oh, thank you. You have no idea. You can never understand what that means to me. You can't understand how thankful I am. You consider this your home church. You consider me your pastor. God bless you. I'm so humbled by that. But some of my choices are just made for me. They're just made. If I was convicted, like on John's Law, I hired a prostitute and I was arrested and convicted and it was in the police blotter. Is that okay with you, by the way? It's a victimless crime. What's your problem? No, you wouldn't like that, would you? I can tell you one lady who certainly wouldn't like it. It's not okay. My choices are made for me. If I was arrested for drunk driving, would you be okay with that? Some of my choices are made for me. And I know who I am. I know who I belong to. And there are some things that are so beyond the pale. But there are those sins in good standing that just happen like between your ears and nobody knows. But that's okay, right? I'm a new creation in Christ. I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm mortifying the deeds of the flesh, even when the deeds of the flesh are only thought. Our old man is crucified with him. I got the memo. Thank you, Jesus. That guy who likes those sort of things, he's dead. I'm crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And that's what it's all about. Serve, a slave to sin. That's the problem with sin. It has a death principle built into it. You say, well, what about lying? You're not going to, so you tell a lie, you're going to die? No, but my veracity is going to die. It's definitely going to suffer. It's going to take a hit. If I'm found to be a liar and now I'm preaching the word of God, it's like, psh, that's this Adam. He never tells the truth. You see how death principles worked into sin. It is. And I know that. And I fear sin. I fear God. I don't want these things in my life. I was making this dove. And so I had some luan and Suze had cut it out of the newspaper and I traced it on a piece of cardboard and I got my razor out and I cut it. And then I put it on that piece of luan, and so I had my little jigsaw and I was cutting away at it, and the theology wasn't lost on me. Here I am cutting away every part that wasn't dove, okay? And I was praying. It struck me as like, Lord, this is what I want. I get emotional when I think about my relationship with the Lord. This is what I want. Everything that's not spirit, cut away. Get rid of that in my life. Don't want it. It's killer. It's bad for me. It's not good. It's not taking me where I want to be. It's not edifying. It's not building me up. It's not making me closer to God. It's got the death in it. It stinks. It smells of the flesh. I'm resurrected. Am I a sinner? Yeah. But I'm not going to be sinless. Not today, not tomorrow. Probably not even the next day. But I want to sin less. You know, there's some things that just aren't acceptable, and I don't want to be that, and I'm not that person. I don't want to serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. What a wonderful, oh my goodness, that is such a, that's incredible good verse. If you're dead, you're freed from sin. I can prove it. You go to any graveyard and try to lead a rebellion. Get out of your grave. Let's overthrow the government. They won't cooperate. Try to sell drugs to people in a graveyard. There's a lot of people in a graveyard. You know what they are? They're dead to sin. They're free from the tyranny of sin. You want to get rid of a bad habit? Crucify it. And be merciless with the flesh. It is not your friend. Focus on the heavenly. Set your affections on the thing above. You're not going to be here forever. Why do we live like we're here forever? Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Oh my goodness, I'm gonna preach the whole chapter. We're going to go back to where we are. You've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. You have to know this. You have to know this. I've dealt so many times, a big part of my ministry, well, I just can't. You don't understand my upbringing and my... You don't understand who you are in Christ. It's not like, oh yeah, you had it tough. Well, suck it up, buttercup. It's not like that. I'm not like that. I think everyone knows that. We're all victimized by imperfect parents, probably many of them doing the best that they could. And I understand that the way you are is the way you are is a product of choices you made, choices that others have chosen for you. I understand. It's a big part. Some of you didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for this, you're saying. I have same-sex attraction, you say, or I have a penchant towards alcoholism. My parents were alcoholic. My parents' parents were alcoholic. My parents' parents' parents were alcoholic. And I have a penchant for that. I get it. We're new in Christ. You got to think it through. And when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you say, I don't want to be victimized by this anymore. Jesus, help me. He's very willing to cut out all the pots that aren't. He's not ambivalent about your spirituality. He's actively trying to make you more like Jesus Christ. Somebody should have said amen there, but I know you're not an amen church. I get it. Having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And, can I say this, recreated him or her. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. This works, and I don't care. He's saying, I don't care if you're, look at bond or free. I don't care if you're a slave or if you're the master. This works. I don't care. And we'll talk about slavery a little bit next week. And it doesn't mean what you think it means in Scripture. But let me just quickly say this, you know, because Bible people are a bit critical of the Bible and speak against slavery. I'm thinking, boy, you don't know anything. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Kidnapping and men stealers is a capital offense, and people are put to death for that, okay, just in case you're wondering. Bond servant is a different category, but slavery, like it was practiced in America, slave owners, if they were living in Israel, would have been put to death. Just saying, but let's move on because we can get... I don't care if you're Greek, I don't care if you're Jewish. I don't care if you're circumcised or uncircumcised, Jew or Greek, right? He don't care. It says circumcision or uncircumcised, barbarian. I don't care if you speak the language. Scythian, that's like Russia, that's the outskirts of civilization. We don't care. Barbarian just meant non-Greek speakers. Say, what is barbarian? Because when they talk, it sounded like bar, bar, bar. It didn't sound like any intelligible. Have you heard someone speak a different language? You're thinking, that is communication. It sounds like clicks and whistles. And you're thinking, you're communicating. That's actual language. Well, to the non-Greek speakers, to the Greek speakers, people speaking non-Greek sounded like, they're barbarians. And it doesn't mean like you or I would think. Scythians, bond or free. Christ is all and in all. This works for every group, every. And by the way, now the obvious, another obvious application is racism. Really? We're all members of the human race. And it's just a question of genetics. That's all it is. The Creator made us so that we had variations in the gene code. That's all. Is one above another? Boy, I grew up, I used to think so. because I was a stupid little kid, and this is what I was taught. Now, I relearned some things in Christ. No racism. Christ is all in all. And it don't matter. It don't matter your station in life. It doesn't matter your ethnicity, your gender. Those things couldn't matter. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, and all those groups are elect of God, as we are. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. He knew we were going to need this. Okay, so were we these things, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence? No, we're these things. Bowels of mercy. Now, bowels, we have different use for bowels. Bowels in their language is the innermost being, okay? Compassion, mercy, from our inmost being. Kindness, that's not my long suit. I'm not mean, but I'm not like kind. It's not my first best attribute, but I got to grow because Jesus is kind. Humbleness, all right. I'm working on it, okay? That's all I can say, all right? It's hard. You're saying, well, why would you be proud? I know, right? Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Meekness isn't weakness. Jesus was meek. He said that of himself. He drove out the money changers. It's strength under control. And I want us to understand that. Be strong. Look, Father's Day, you're a man. You're strong. God put you as guardian of your whole house. You're definitely very strong. I have no doubt about that. Be strong in the right direction. Be strong in the Lord. Lead your family in the things of God manly, as with strength, with fortitude, with courage. Even when people are laughing. No, we know who we want to be. We're long suffering. He knew we were going to need that. Why? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Why? Because we're going to disagree and we're going to have arguments. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. We're never more godlike as when we forgive, and we're never more satanic as when we refuse to forgive. There it is. And I'll go over it again with you. Well, he doesn't deserve it. It hasn't got nothing to do with deserve, because you didn't deserve your forgiveness in Christ either. We forgive because that's what Christ wants us to do. He wants us to, make every effort to, because it all comes down to relationships. That's the whole thing. When they come here on their hands and knees and they're crawling and beg for forgiveness, they ain't coming. They ain't coming. You got to forgive unilaterally, not because they ask, because it's a cancer. It's bitter, and it makes you bitter. Why should I let them off the hook? Because you're hooked to them. That's it. I got a list of people who I'm really, really upset with. This list doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. I got a list of people I hate. I don't hate. Why? Well, look at the next verse. And above all these things, put on charity, put on love. Remember, we're not even a blip on God's radar. If we speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but you don't have charity. You haven't even showed up yet. You can give your body to be burned. You give all your stuff to and sacrifice everything and just lay it all down. You ain't got love. You ain't got anything. So this is the catalyst. This is the Lord, make me more like Jesus. Make me loving. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. I want this, and then all these other things are going to come into place. I love God. I don't want to let him down. I love you. I don't want to disappoint you. I love my wife. I don't want her to be discouraging me. Now, I might go over a minute, but I want to say one more thing. Struggling with something really, really hard? Get help. Say, well, I'm just going to rely on the Lord. If that works, good. If not, you may need to phone a friend, literally. You know, ring, ring, ring. Yeah, buddy, listen, I got this. Yeah, you remember what we talked about? Well, it's happening right now. I just bought some marijuana, and I'm thinking about, because I used to smoke dope all the time. You remember? Help me out here. Now, where one will fall, two will stand. If an attacker comes against one person, he may overcome, but you got two people? Woe to the one who falls being alone. There's no one to help him up. You know how this works? So, now, if you're happily married to a godly spouse, this is your first line of defense. Sue's Kasperzak has made me a better person. There's some things she would not tolerate. And I love her. I don't want to disappoint her. I want to set, you know, myself up as a this is the way a godly man looks, and this is what it looks like to be godly. And much of my choices are decided. There's things I can't bring into my house, okay? Well, I don't want to, but the flesh might be weak, but they better not be found in my house. I tell you that right now. So your first line of defense is a godly spouse, and God set it up that way. There's two of the strands of your three-stranded cord that's not easily broken, right? The third being the Lord himself. Pray. So I went to my wife, Lord, babe, I'm struggling with this and this and this and this. You know, with, there we are right there. She loves me. And so there we go. And that's why God is one of the reasons he invented marriage. One of the reasons. So forgiveness will, lack of love and forgiveness will really set you back. They'll manifest in you not being able to overcome sinful behaviors in your life. When it says mortify the deeds of the flesh, one of those deeds that you got to mortify is unforgiveness. Say, well, you know, I forgive him, but I still feel bad about what happened. Oh, my goodness. How cute are you? You don't understand what forgiveness means. That's all. You just don't understand what forgiveness means. It doesn't mean feeling good about what they did. That'll never happen. Somebody stabs you in the back or cheated on you or lied to you or said all kinds of bad things. You're not going to feel good about that. I choose to forgive them, which is both, and I said this before, it's a crisis and it's a process. There's a time to determine, I'm forgiving that person, it's done. I'm not holding it against them. They and God can square it up. As far as I'm concerned, I love them, they're my best friend, I'm going to pray for them, I'm going to ask God's blessing on their life. Free. Oh, but I feel, and I think about it again, and I just get so, Lord, you know I forgave that person, and I'm just going to try to walk this out in my faith now, just going to try to, and you pray for that person. That'll really help. That'll help you turn that corner. When you're praying for, actively praying for their blessing, that'll be a help. So anyway, I hope this was a real benefit to you. I didn't say anything about fathers, verse 21, fathers provoke not your children to anger. That's next week, okay? It didn't line up exactly how it all worked, should have, but I hope this is tremendously helpful because I don't know anybody. I've never met anybody who doesn't have a particular issue that they're wrestling with. Overcome. Something else will crop up for sure. From here to the time the trumpet sounds, there's going to be a struggle in your life. There ain't nothing to be afraid of. Show everyone around you victory. Show yourself victory. It's a wonderful way to live. Focus on the Lord. Follow hard after him. Pray for help. He's very available to help you. And if you really get into a situation, phone a friend. If you want to come up afterwards and get my phone number because you want me to be that accountability, I'm happily to do that. Okay, let's stand and we'll go out of here. And I love scripture like this because it's where we live every day. There is an adversary. He's a steal, kill, destroy boy. He's seeking to devour us. And our wonderful Savior has given us power to tread on snakes and scorpions. Praise his holy name.